Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And like all the podcasts here at WFYI, they are available on Spotify. Well, it's just you and me. I'm going to keep it fairly short this week. We are in that period where we are in the post-Oscar nomination boom and stuff that just has to be out there in theaters. So the choices, except for the Oscar-nominated stuff, as far as new stuff, was either Doolittle, which is Robert Downey Jr. in a reboot of Dr. Doolittle that nobody except Robert Downey Jr. probably asked for, or Bad Boys for Life, which apparently Will Smith and Martin Lawrence were asking for, and probably Joey Pants, although I like to see Joey Pants. Michael Bay is not involved. Michael Bay is not involved with this one. Some filmmakers who are a little cheaper to work with but can still do Michael Bay-type stuff are on board. And it's been, what, I think 16, 17 years since Bad Boys 2, which I always remembered made my worst 10, a bombastic sequel if there ever was one. And since Will Smith isn't a part of Suicide Squad anymore, I guess we have to latch on to old past glories or franchises or both in one way, shape, or form. This time around, a woman from Will Smith's past, as well as her son, come back to haunt. The less you think about the entire timeline of the Bad Boys series, because stuff happened before or after. Actually, stuff happened after the first Bad Boys film came out, when Detective Mike Lowry was apparently undercover with an alias. Anyway, don't worry about that because they don't expect you to remember that or care. But I happen to be the guy that brings that up. So anyway, forget the timeline, I suppose. But the guys are older now, and Will Smith's character wanting to stay young. Of course, Martin Lawrence, somebody had pointed out, with the exception of the Beach Bum, which he had a small role in that last year, hasn't done much in a decade, so I bet he's really benefiting with the exposure in this film. Martin's character is a grandfather. He wants to contemplate retirement. So we get not only the cliches of the buddy cop film, but we also get the isn't retirement funny. Fanny packs and minivans and hanging out with other retired people, which Will Smith's character doesn't want anything to do with at all. And there's at least one or two promises to God that, well, it's done for cinematic purposes and we're going to forget about it in the last half of the film anyway. It is shorter than Bad Boys 2. I will give it that. My issues with Bad Boys 2 was the first third of that film was what you wanted from the first film. First Bad Boys is okay, although it was Michael Bay's directorial debut and it would lead to other stuff. Second third of that film became like a Farrelly Brothers film, and then the last third became Uber, Pearl Harbor, Armageddon, Michael Bay serious. And that similar structure in this one, only instead of the Farrelly Brothers middle, we have the older cops dealing with the new ammo police system. So the young kids with their technology and their attitudes don't mesh well until the last third of the film with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. I know this wasn't made for me, and I've really been avoiding a lot of sequels and remakes and reboots recently, and I know the handful of people I saw this on a Friday morning, they enjoyed themselves. They wanted to see these guys together. I get it. I just didn't ask for it. And then, of course, we get into Uber gunplay and Uber fights and CGI mess and heavy symbolism when there is a fiery pit at the bottom of the final sequence of the film. And it leaves the window open for another because you never know. So, yeah, Bad Boys for Life is out in theaters. Have at it if you want to. All right. Before we get into the big news from earlier this week, Saturday at IU Cinema, Saturday, January 18th at 4 o'clock, the 1926 film The Adventures of Prince Ahmed at 7 o'clock from 2019. This was a really fun documentary series, Making Waves, The Art of Cinematic Sound. And there'll be a post-film discussion, The Sound of Cinema, The Technological History and Future of Sound at the Movies. We'll follow that screening on Saturday the 18th at 7 p.m. Sunday the 19th at IU Cinema, the 40th anniversary screening of 9 to 5. Yes, my daughter would be excited about that. And then, interesting double bill, even though it's two separate tickets, Widows, the female crime drama with Viola Davis and company from 2018. That is also very good. Thursday the 23rd at 7 o'clock, the 2005 film Constantine, producer and IU alums Michael Uslan, is scheduled to be present for a pre-screening book signing from 5:30 to 6:30, as well as a post-screening discussion for Constantine Thursday the 23rd. Friday the 24th, the 25th anniversary screening of Kevin Smith's overrated film Mallrats at 7 o'clock, and then Tigers Are Not Afraid as a part of the International Art House series at 10 o'clock. Saturday the 25th, Akira Kurosawa's Yojimbo at 4 o'clock. If you're a fan of spaghetti westerns, you should know Yojimbo. And then Tigers Are Not Afraid will be shown Saturday the 25th at 7 o'clock. Sunday the 26th, Al Wee Wee with the fake case at 1 o'clock from 2013. And then at 4 o'clock, the Jim Jarmusch film Mystery Train on Sunday the 26th. And then Monday the 27th, Cunningham 3D happening at 7 o'clock. So all of that is happening. And, of course, Jim Jarmusch is coming to IU Cinema, I believe, Thursday the 30th. He's definitely a standby only on Friday the 31st at 4 o'clock, and his screening of Dead Man that night is sold out. So anyway, all of that is happening over at IU Cinema at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin on Saturday the 18th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., The Great Muppet Caper. The 24th and 25th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. The Inseparable Film Tour on February the 6th at 6:30 p.m. That's Friday and Saturday, 6th and 7th. And then Thursday the 13th at 1:30 p.m. for those 55 or older, courtesy of Swartz Family Community Mortuary, a free screening of Billy Wilder's Sabrina. And then they will show it on 14th and 15th of February at 2 and 7:30 p.m. February 21st, Friday, 7:30 p.m., Pretty Woman will be there. And mark your calendars, TBD, which is my favorite date on the calendar. They're going to be showing my top film of 2019, the Aretha Franklin concert documentary, Amazing Grace. I guess they'll have a date for that set later. So look for that. Go to the historicartcrafttheater.org for all the information. Big week for Will Smith, I guess, because Gemini Man, the film he worked on with Ang Lee, is out on DVD and Blu-ray. And, that's really about it for the titles. And The Fugitive Kind, if you're a fan of Sidney Lumet, Marlon Brando, Joanne Woodward, Anna Magnani, that is out on Criterion. So has your hostility about the Academy Award nominations died down since Monday morning? I bring it up because, one, this is the only film award show I really watch. This and the Tonys are the only award shows that I actually watch and have some focus on. So it doesn't bother me as much as others. I don't mind a five-hour Academy Awards broadcast. I don't mind the special awards. In fact, I still think they should be a part of the broadcast. There's also big business in getting a nomination and winning an award, so... There's some of that into it, and it's the Film Geeks Final Four. So yeah, I wasn't thrilled that Joker led the nominees with 11. Although no matter what you say about the film, Joaquin Phoenix's performance, it's probably in the front runner right now, up against Antonio Banderas, which I believe Pain and Glory comes out on video next week. Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver for Marriage Story, and Jonathan Pryce in The Two Popes. And the fact that Pryce and Hopkins both got nominated for The Two Popes, so, you know, bully for them. And you could still do a film with just the two of them and nothing else in it. But they wound up stretching it out. I was really happy for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I'm a shameless Scorsese nut, so was excited to see The Irishman get some love. Brad Pitt is up for Best Supporting Actor. Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes, Al Pacino in The Irishman, Joe Pesci in The Irishman, Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Brad Pitt is the only one of those actors not with an award for acting. He did produce 12 Years a Slave, so it could be the odd man out in that one. Cynthia Erivo for her performance as Julia Roberts in Harriet. You know what if you know that joke, you'll look for it. Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan in Little Women, Charlize Theron in Bombshell, Renee Zellweger in Judy. That's the leading actress performances. For Best Supporting Actress, Kathy Bates in Richard Jewell, Laura Dern, Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson in Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh in Little Women, and Margot Robbie in Bombshell. That makes Johansson, I believe, the 11th performer to have dual nominations in leading and supporting. Margot Robbie getting one for Bombshell, as well as obviously Charlize Theron for Bombshell, even though I'm not crazy about the film. And I know that there's at least one film a year that gets re-released in theaters for award consideration. I believe this year goes to Jojo Rabbit. So congratulations for them on getting that. The nominees, I've read the post that Oscar B. White, Oscar B. Male. I understand that. I think Greta Gerwig also should have been nominated for Best Director, although I think she's got a good shot at getting screenplay. You first ask yourself, who do you take out of the list and put in? And so fans of The Farewell and Booksmart and The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which was a film that made my top 10. I thought screenplay and directing, you could definitely put them in there. At least I would have. So here's your best pictures. Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. Joker's definitely off. If I was doing five, like we used to do in the old days, it would probably be Little Women, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh, probably Jojo Rabbit. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, and probably Parasite. I mean, 1917 is good, but I don't think it's that great. And I know Sam Mendes is up for director. Anything not named Joaquin Phoenix and Joker could pretty much go. And as I've said before, and I will say it again, if you like Joker, I hope you go check out Taxi Driver and The King of Comedy. Because I think it borrows too much from both of those. So I'm not going to give you picks just yet. I'll do that the weekend before. But I think we got a little snow job in the last few years. I know the last couple years, the Academy had been boasting about having a more diverse and younger voting base. And I think the last couple years they've also had a list of some of the new members. And we get the list that we get. For me, looking at the acting categories, for instance, now I've not seen Richard Jewell, so I have to check that out. Scarlett Johansson and Jojo Rabbit, well, it's nice. I don't think it's top five. Tough to take Margot Robbie out of there, even though I liked her performance as Sharon Tate more in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. For leading actress, Charlize Theron, as good as the makeup is in that film, and Renee Zellweger, as good as she is, I don't think it's top five material. I believe the ladies from Once, Portrait of a Lady on Fire could have gone there. The Awkwafina probably could have gone there. Same thing in supporting actress. I believe Nana from The Farewell could have gotten on that list as well. Pacino was not in my top five as far as supporting actor performances. Hopkins, well, as I mentioned, Bully for the two of them, it's not a top five for me. Hanks, I get. Pesci, I get because it's a really understated performance. Pitt, I really, really enjoyed in that. I still need to see for Leading Man, I still need to see Pain and Glory. Really happy for Leo. Really happy for Adam. Phoenix, of course, you got to get in. Price could be considered the fourth or fifth nominee there. You could replace him. It's a really good performance, but I don't know if it's top five. And next thing you know, they're going to open it up, and there'll be more than five categories for the actors and the others. So the participation trophy aspect of the awards continue. And wow, best animated feature. Yeah, How to Train Your Dragon, I Lost My Body, Claws, Missing Link, and Toy Story 4. No Frozen 2, and that's okay. I Lost My Body is the most original of that, but it doesn't have a chance. So, yeah, that's really – but what happens now with these nominees is it will hopefully gain a wider audience for films like Jojo Rabbit and Parasite. More people will hopefully go out for Little Women. Joker's already out on video. More people will go check out 1917. Hopefully more people will check out The Lighthouse, although I think Defoe probably should have been a supporting actor nominee. But it looks great. The cinematography is exceptionally good, and I'm glad it got some recognition there. But now that these are out, more people will go check out films they probably wouldn't have before because of the nominations. It's maybe sheepish, but it's business. So hopefully you will catch up on your Oscar-nominated lists, and when it gets a little closer, I can give you my heart and my head picks. Yeah, Sunday, February 9th on ABC. I'm also available for parties, so there you go. Oh, and the Razzies has decided to not go up against the Academy Awards, and I guess they're going to announce their nominees the night before the ceremony. In the past, they had always done it the day before. They've done the nominee ceremony the day before the Academy Award nominee announcements, and they've always had their ceremony the night before the Academy Awards, and they apparently stopped doing that. So we'll see how ridiculous those lists are. And that's it. So go see some Oscar-nominated films. There's plenty out there. You deserve it. So, ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Once again, go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. Let's have some fun with some audio.
Oh, Roger! We're not alone.
Pull the string! Pull the string!
Beastmaster!
Ringo!
Axel!
Sinead!
Chief!
McLeod!
Good night, Mother.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Hardcastle.
Good night, McCormick.
Good night, Chief.
Good night, McLeod.
Uncle Bill!
Jody.
Buffy.
Mr. French.
Mrs. Beasley.
Chief.
McLeod.
Dad.
Mommy.
Ricky.
Mr. Drysdale.
Mr. Eddie's father.
Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Haney.
Lisa.
Chief.
McLeod.
Cujo.
Evil One. Supreme Being.
Alf.
Chief.
McLeod.
Nosy.
Chirpy.
Rat Boy, Sandra Locke.
Chief.
McLeod.
Who? Who Radley?
Dark One.
Trumpy,
Beelzebub.
Where are you?
Chief.
McLeod.
We are Sexbubble! 1, 2, 3, 4! We are Sexbubble! 1, 2, 3, 4!
We are Sexbubble, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff!
We are Sexbubble. We are here to make money and sell out and stuff.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Kim!
We are!
Especially Matthew Sosi, I'm going to be putting down my Xbox and my energy drinks to review a mature movie.
Hey everyone, this is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
Hi, this is Padma Lakshmi, and you're listening to Film Sociology
on WFYI FM Radio.
Hi there, I'm Claire Robinson, and I'm so excited to be talking to Film Sociology on WFYI in Indianapolis.
Hola amigos, soy Ingrid Hoffman de Delicioso y de Latin Delight. Estás escuchando Film Sociology aquí en WFYI en Indianapolis.
No, that's not what I said.
Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off!
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!